Thank you. Please be seated. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
I have a handout for you, and it's your homework. It'll be an open book test. But what it is general healings that Jesus Christ did. It shows how many were healed, the size of the group, and who was healed. Some not healed is the category, where some not healed. And you will see when you go through every account here that everyone that sought healing was healed. If you were a bettor on a game and wanted to make a lot of money, you'd bet somebody that was very, like, I guess, Tiger Woods, if you really want to make some money and he was at the top of his game, that you'd bet on him. Well, if you wanted to bet on someone that could heal, you'd bet on Jesus Christ, because he healed everyone that needed healing. And today I'm going to teach on Jesus Christ the healer. But I thought that would be a wonderful resource for you to go through, and in your study of the word, is to look at the accounts. These are the general healings, the groups. He healed the masses, and I think it's just a real indication of what God's desire is that everyone be healed. And he made that available through Jesus Christ. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 12. And healing has been a real passion of mine for a few years now, and it's just amazing how loving our Father is, that he would be concerned about every aspect of our lives. You know, we've always thought, we've never had any question about our salvation. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, we were saved. We had eternal life. What a wonderful day that was. And when we learned about the scriptures that evidence of that salvation was speaking in tongues, there we had proof. We had no doubt. And there is no doubt of our salvation. But there's a second part to that salvation, is our wholeness. And because Jesus Christ had to bring back everything remove everything that Adam brought into the world because of sin. So Adam brought in damnation, eternal damnation. He brought in sickness and disease, torment. There's no peace that you'll ever find except through God and Jesus Christ. You know, people try to pay for peace. They get these beautiful spas and everything they possibly can to try and have peace, but there's only peace through Jesus Christ. But he had to take away everything that Adam brought in. Adam brought in sickness and disease, sin. So Jesus Christ had to remove that from each one of us. So that should be as much an assurance to us as our salvation. And so today I wanted to show more about this Jesus Christ the healer with you. And a couple weeks ago when Jan taught about who is Jesus Christ, we looked at Hebrews 12:2, and it said, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and faint in your minds." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Looking unto means to turn away from other things and fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher. When you have a healing situation, you look to Jesus Christ, because he paid the price. We'll see that. But we fix our eyes on that. We don't swerve back and forth. You know, well, I don't feel like it. Well, he is the answer. You know, just having the privilege of knowing the Word of God and hearing manifestations. We could have really left right after manifestations, because God revealed his love and his heart for each one of us. And that's what his Word's all about. It's just love letters showing the Father, the God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth, how he set the moon and the stars together. Everything he said is perfect. Everything in his word is perfect. And he's made a perfect person, each one of us, because Christ lives in each one of us. So compassion is a big key to understanding healing and deliverance. Last week we listened to a teaching on the forgiving Father. And we saw that compassion, that forgiving Father was an example, was the model of God. How he, when we go astray, he's waiting for us to come back. And he was willing to bring, to restore that son back to, he was a rich man's son. He was given everything that he had. We are rich people because the God of the heavens is our Father, and we should live like that. We should enjoy the fullness of what he's given us. But forgiveness is really a big thing, and sometimes that limits us from receiving because we don't see how wonderful we are. And the price, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Forgiving, that's it's all about. We were forgiven. The price was paid for our redemption through Jesus Christ. Let's start in Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at a little bit about the atonement that Jesus Christ provided. Jesus had to legally pay for our sins. And in the Old Testament, there was a time of atonement where they took a lamb or a bullock and they put on, symbolically, put on all the sins of the people, and then they took that lamb out and killed it. Well, so much of the Old Testament is an example of a type of Christ revealing to us who Jesus Christ was. So that lamb took on all the sins of the people and he was killed. Who took on the lamb, all the sins of the people and was killed? Jesus Christ, right? No. Romans chapter 5, verse 16. Actually, verse 6, we'll start. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that saved is sozo. We are made whole, body, soul, and spirit, completely. You know, if we were not saved from sickness and disease, then there couldn't be sickness and disease in heaven. Well, that's not possible. There is none. So we have to just forget about that. It's not possible. Not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Through Jesus Christ, we have received the atonement. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We reign in life by Jesus Christ. He has healed us. He has restored us back to God's original plan for man. All that God intended for man, for Adam in the garden, that's ours today. We have that fellowship. You know, the forgiving Father, the thing that those sons were lacking was that fellowship with the Father. They didn't recognize what a loving Father they had. So the one kid took what he had of the Father's and he wasted it, but he came back and asked the Father if he could be a servant. Well, we know that God forgave him and has forgiven us as sinners. That second son, we have to look at. He knew what he had, and we know what we have. We work very hard to serve God, but do we enjoy the fellowship as sons of God? Realize Jesus Christ is our brother. He paid the price for us. He restored everything so that we could walk and talk with God, that we can enjoy that love, that compassion. I was sharing a little bit of my teaching with my mom yesterday when we were sitting together, and I said, would you ever want your child to suffer to prove their love for you? What'd you say? No, of course not. She had 10 kids. They could have. God would never have expected us to suffer show our love for him. So He made it available by legally redeeming us through Jesus Christ. He's the healer. So what is sin? Because Adam brought sin into the world. Because of sin, we have sickness, disease, torment. Sin is an independence from God and his will. Just not following what God wants us to do. We decide, you know what the serpent said to Adam? You know, you can be as God, knowing good and evil. You don't need God, because you know, he doesn't want you to know that you could do all the things that he can do. Well, we do need God. And why not? Here we have someone that loves us. He knows the very hairs on our heads. And he gave the greatest gift he could have was his son to die for us. So we need to know God's will, and we need to recognize all that Jesus Christ accomplished. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. We're going to look at a couple, after the fall of man, the first thing that God established was the seed of the woman would come. They recognized that there would be a Savior and that Jesus Christ would come to redeem us. So that basically a subject from Genesis to Revelation is Jesus Christ. So it's very important we know who Jesus Christ is and that he is our healer, our deliverer, our Savior. Exodus chapter 12, after the children of Israel were led out of Egypt, they were redeemed from the captivity of Egypt, the Egyptians, God established a covenant with them of healing. Exodus chapter, 15. Exodus 15 and let's look at verse 22 first. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute for an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now, the children of Israel just saw that God opened the Red Sea, had a path of dry land for them. You know, if I was him, I would have had it a little mushy just for them to realize this is quite a deal here. Dry land. They walk through it. And then all of a sudden they needed some water. So they start murmuring, "You take us out, we don't have water." So God tells Moses, put this tree in the water and it's sweet. He was ready to take care of them. So they murmured again, and so God said, he did that to prove his power. Verse 26, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which that I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." He established a covenant that he is the Lord that healeth thee. I am Jehovah Rapha. That is who he is, and that's what he does. We are believers, and that is what we do. We believe God's word. So he established that. But they had a responsibility. They had to diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord. You know, they had to love God, to serve him, to keep his statutes, and then he would bless them. And he does that today. That's available for us today. And then let's go to Numbers 21. So God established there that he was the God of the Lord that heals us. And we know that through Jesus Christ, he revealed the Father's will. So Jesus Christ became the healer of the brokenhearted. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. We're in Numbers 21:5. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loath this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You know, again, they were unthankful. Here he'd given them this wonderful manna, and now they loathe it. You know, can you imagine feeding 2 million or so people for 40 years on manna? And, you know, it was much better than what they had in Egypt. So they should have been thankful. Well, so they were bitten and people died. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord and that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, if a serpent had bitten any man, that he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. These people had to look unto that serpent, that pole. That same pole we use today is a symbol of the medical field. That pole was a type of Jesus Christ. They looked unto, it was almost a prophecy that when you looked to Jesus Christ, you would be healed. They looked at that and they were healed. Isn't that amazing? Throughout the Word of God, it established this healing. And then that Jesus Christ would provide that healing. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing. Those that looked at it were healed. We look to Jesus Christ and we're healed. Because by his stripes, we were healed. He paid the price. So when people say, well, it's really not fair that for someone to be saved, they have to go to Jesus Christ. You know, you can be a good person and do all the works and all this. No, it is fair. Look what you get. You get salvation, you get healing, you get peace. What more would you want? Why make it difficult for yourself? Let's look at Isaiah 53. And this is the great section of the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And you know what's amazing is when he was a young child and he read this and saw what his purpose was, that he would take on the sins and the sicknesses and diseases of the whole world, so that we could be free. That he could have brothers and sisters, that he could enjoy, that he could be our advocate. Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. His griefs is sicknesses, and our sorrows is diseases. Yet he did esteem him stricken of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He had to pay the price to redeem us completely. His physical body had to be tortured. He had to bear every sickness and disease, every mental torment, so that we could be free. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Indeed. That's who we look to, Jesus Christ, the healer, looking unto him. In Deuteronomy, it talks about the curse of the law. When they didn't, remember God told them, you have to seek me and follow me. Well, when they didn't follow God, then there was the curses, and many curses. And basically all the diseases that mankind has today is in the curses. Well, Galatians says that Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse. Again, everything that Adam brought in, Jesus took away. Because he is the healer, the savior of all mankind. Let's look in Galatians chapter 2. Look at, let's look at 3:13 first. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, be made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And then I wanted to look at Galatians 2:20. Because one important part of our living in wholeness, in healing, in deliverance, is that we recognize that we are a new creation in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. No, righteousness didn't come by the law. It came through by Jesus Christ. He paid the price so that we could be restored as sons of God, not servants. Servants are under the law. We don't frustrate the grace of God. If God gave us this, why not enjoy it? Now, I always think of Shati when I minister to her back, and she says, it's not fair to Jesus Christ that I'm not healed, for me not to accept what he did. Yes, I'm going to accept it. And she did. Continues to do that. It's not fair that Jesus Christ would do all this for us and we say, I don't need it. I can find a better way. Believe me, there is no better way. Right? We all can testify of that. We can't do anything of ourselves. So what was Jesus Christ's ministry? Let's look at Luke chapter 4. You know, he was an incredible man. He was the Son of God. It says in the Gospel of John, the very end of John, that if all the things that were written that Jesus did, that the world could not contain the volumes that would be written about him. He's someone to look to, right? Isn't that amazing? Of all the things that he did, if it was all written, the world could not contain it. And he had a ministry of 1 year. It's pretty astounding. Luke chapter 4. So why not put all of our attention unto him? And he was so compassionate. We'll look at some of that, but that compassion came from the Father. You know, with Christ in us, we have that love inside of us. All we have to do is walk out. Get out of the boat. Sometimes we get so comfortable in life that, yeah, I don't want to look to the right or the left because I might have to jump in there and get involved. That's what we're here for. Our lives are in service, in love of who we are. We are God's kids, and we are to carry out the work of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the free, to set at liberty them which are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. That was the start of his ministry. He took care of every oppression that the adversary had caused. It says in Acts 10:38 that, let's look at it. This is probably one of the greatest summaries of his life, his purpose, his job description. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. That's Jesus Christ the healer. That was his purpose. Now, who else do we know was anointed of God? We are, right? We receive the Holy Spirit. We are anointed of God. We're not in Nazareth. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, everywhere that he went, all those that came to him, they looked to him, they came to him, they received healing, except those in Nazareth. Because you know what they saw him to be? Well, he was just the carpenter's son. You know, he had nothing to offer. They were blinded. And we don't need to be blinded. He is the Son of God. He is the healer. He lives within each one of us. But that was the only time in his ministry when people were not healed because of their unbelief. Now, pretty, pretty amazing. There's so many areas where he healed people. He healed the compassion he had. Like Lazarus was his wonderful, practically brother. You know, he loved him so much, and Mary and Martha. And Lazarus, news came that Lazarus was sick, and he waited another 2 days. By the time he got there, he was 4 days in the grave. And he wept when he saw Lazarus, and yet the reason he waited was God told him to, so that God would be glorified. And then he said, Lazarus, come up, come, wake up. So many times, I think the compassion of when he ministered to the widow woman's son, there was a funeral procession, and there was this woman, a widow, who had one son, and he died. And Jesus was walking through the countryside, saw this procession. He stopped him, and he told the woman, weep not. And he said to the son, get up. He woke up and he gave him to his mother. You know, think of that compassion. Think about the compassion that we need to give to this world. All of us have things in our lives that the adversary has put on us that has hurt us. And we need to have that compassion to stand with one another and say, you know, Jesus Christ paid the price for your complete deliverance. You don't have to suffer anymore. It's all gone, and we need to stand together and love one another and forgive one another and see that deliverance. Let's close in 2 Colossians chapter 5. Huh? Second Corinthians. I knew that when I looked at it. My voice and my eyes didn't quite connect there. Sorry. I trust that you see a little bit of the heart of Jesus Christ, how he is so important from the beginning of the scriptures to the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And actually, I would have gone on in the Gospels how he saw how powerful his ministry was and the need for the people that he'd said to pray for the laborers to the harvest, because there's many people that need help. And he appointed his disciples, appointed the 12, gave them the power to heal. And they saw that healing deliverance. Then he appointed 70. He saw that there had to be more to go to the world. And when he died, before he died, he gave his disciples the instructions to go out into the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, make the blind to see. We carry out his ministry. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, though we know Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, since any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given Jesus Christ's ministry to reconcile the world back to God. It says that the works that he does, shall we do in greater works. He told us that in John. We are to do those works in greater works. We're to bring people to Christ, for them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. Verse 19, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be a sin offering for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So we are those ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are those healers to the world today. God established healing as his will, his desire for all mankind. He redeemed us completely, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we carry out that ministry. So I trust that helps you see a little bit more about Jesus Christ and who you are too, because we aren't just the old man. We are Christ in each one of us. We are Christians. That's where the name comes from. Christ in each one of us. So God bless you. Turn your eyes. We're going to sing.